This is Mary Lewis at A Tiny Homestead, the podcast comprised entirely of conversations with homesteaders, cottage food producers, and crafters. Today I'm talking with Laura at Evergreen & Inc. Good morning, Laura. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Mary?
Good, other than the fact that my platform is doing weird things. If this doesn't work, we'll reschedule it, but it's fine. All right. So tell me about yourself and Evergreen & Inc.
Yeah, well, thanks for reaching out and having us on. It was so nice to connect with you and your amazing business. Evergreen & Inc. Started just over 2 years ago, and it was always kind of a long-term goal of mine, a wish list item, if you will. I've been in the design and marketing industry for a little over 10 years now. Went to school to become a graphic designer. Always kind of worked in design and marketing roles in tandem. And so I set my goals high. And after our second baby was born, Evergreen & Inc. was founded. And really, the basis of getting started was to bring high quality design and marketing support to small business owners and make it more accessible so that more people can invest in quality branding for their business.
That is the most succinct elevator speech I have ever heard. I'm so impressed. Wow.
Oh, thank you.
That marketing.
I consider myself to have an elevator speech, but that's kind of it in a nutshell. And it's easy to talk about because I just love it so much.
I was going to say that marketing education has paid off. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. This may seem really weird for my listeners that we're going to be talking about marketing, but a lot of my listeners are doing things that they might already be selling or they might want to be selling later. Okay. And I figured that a real keep it simple, stupid marketing plan is a good thing to have in your back pocket if you need it. So what's the keep it simple, stupid, formula for getting the word out?
Yeah, I know, right? There is such a gamut for, you know, those that are maybe just dreaming about getting started, or those that are, you know, I've been in the small business world for a few years now and I still don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know, so the net is cast wide when it comes to small business, and I get that. A lot of times the things that we preach that are most important for getting started is, of course, invest in quality branding, but you know, that's not the only piece. Being consistent, that's one of the biggest things that I preach to small business owners, is just making sure that you have a presence. It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be all in your face. You don't have to be doing reels every single day. But if you have a consistent messaging out there, that's what your following really wants to see. You know, they want to see you continuously showing up so that you're always staying in front of them. Get the word out. That's another great one. Collaborate with other people in your industry. Don't consider everybody out there competition and constantly be chasing the next thing. Try to collaborate with awesome people out there that are willing to help you get the word out about your business, whether that's online or whether that's in your community, whatever makes sense for your business. And another big piece is figuring out what makes you different. So figuring out what sets you apart from your competitors and the rest of the businesses out there. What's your secret sauce? What makes you you? And then leverage the crap out of that.
Yeah. And the thing that's really great is that there's only one you. You make the thing special because you are the one making it.
Exactly. You are 100% correct.
Yeah. I actually have a tiny little bit of background in marketing and PR. I worked for a friend for almost 6 years, and she had a marketing and PR business. And one of the things that I really learned from her is that you yourself are always representative of your brand. So yes. When you interact with people, remember that, because it only takes one bad interaction with one person to put, I don't know, a pall on your business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, treat everybody like a client for sure. I mean, respect and compassion goes a long way. I mean, I try to give everybody that reaches out the benefit of the doubt. You know, you never know what the size of somebody's marketing budget is, and you never know what their walk of life is or the reasons that they've gotten started in their business. And I find myself like having so many pinch me moments, and I feel so lucky because so many of my clients truly become, you know, like a part of my life, like friends and, you know, people that I reach out to down the road because I just want to stay connected, because you really become part of their story throughout the process of working together. You know, and there's of course times too, where maybe I'm not the best fit for somebody. We don't end up working together, but, you know, sharing their journey and giving them a shout out on social media and like being one of their cheerleaders, showing up in their comments, like all of that goes a long way, because maybe if somebody's not ready to work together now, maybe they will be down the road when capacities are greater and you know, their business requires additional support.
Yeah. You're in Mankato, Minnesota. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
So that doesn't mean that you just work with people in Minnesota. You're capable of working with people anywhere. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When we got started, we actually primarily worked with people outside of Minnesota. We, you know, are so lucky to live in a day and age with all the technology that we do. So working virtually with our clients is, you know, pretty darn close to being able to work in person, you know, with capabilities of, you know, video chat and all of that. We're able to connect with people all over. I think I had a tally end of last year of the number of states that I've worked with people in, and I think I was like somewhere around like 12 different states. So yeah, we work with people local, but we also work with people all over the US.
Okay. So say there's somebody who lives in, let's pick a town, Arlington, who has started a business making cold processed lye soap. And it is not me. I live in Le Sueur and I already make soap. So it's not me. but they just started their business. They've given their soaps to friends and family. Friends and family are all excited and are like, you should sell this.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that you would tell them?
Get a website for sure. Even if it's something simple, having a tool that not only gives your business some credibility, but also gives a place for people to A, purchase your product, and B, reach out if they want more information. I'm guessing, you know, I don't know their business or their model, but I know with soap, there comes opportunity for not even, you know, not only just selling direct to customers, but also, you know, opportunity for wholesale and selling to other businesses. So having a tool like that would be probably step one.
Okay. And then I want to ask you another question. I don't know if it's in your wheelhouse. When people sell things, whether it's soap or food or candles or whatever they're selling, there's always the chance that someone has a reaction to it or gets hurt using it. Is it really important to have business insurance? Is this something that's in your wheelhouse or not?
I personally carry business insurance. Of course, I'm on the service side of things with my business, but that doesn't mean that, you know, unforeseen things can't happen. You know, I don't like to make the analogy, but like if I were, you know, in a car accident tomorrow and something happened and I was in the middle of all these projects, I want, you know, if God forbid something were to happen, I want to make sure that my clients are taken care of. So I definitely do think that there's some importance to that. Whether you need to do it immediately, I mean, that's up to the business owner's discretion, but it, you know, the nice thing is it's very affordable. So I say, if you've got a good insurance agent and you can find a good policy for it, just something very simple, you know, it's a really great thing to have.
Okay. And then we went through this a year ago. We didn't know whether we should do insurance. We didn't know if we should make the business an actual business entity, like a sole proprietorship or an LLC or whatever. And I ended up talking to the Small Business Administration person who is in Mankato as well. Super nice man. Cannot think of his name right now. But if you're starting a new business, you might want to look into the SBA, Small Business Administration.
Yes, because they are a wonderful group of people. I know a lot of people. And for a short stint, I was actually consulting with them. Mm-hmm. But my capacities are just, you know, I'm maxed out at this time. Thankfully, my business has been great. So I'm no longer, you know, supporting them. But they're a wonderful organization.
Yes. And it's free, which means that if you're brand
free.
If you're brand new and you need help, they are the people who will help you.
Yep. They will get you connected with what you need. Yes.
Yeah. So we ended up talking to this really nice man who I can't remember his name right now, last spring in starting our business instead of just our hobby farm. And there were so many things to consider. And we did end up getting business insurance. We did end up becoming an LLC. I'm the owner, because there are many great things about a woman being an owner of a business, especially if you're looking for grants or loans.
Yes.
So if you're a couple and you're starting a business and you are a male-female couple, let the lady
lead. Her name.
Let the lady lead. Yes, exactly.
Yes, we want to see more of that for sure.
Yeah. And it's really funny because my husband is the one who does the gardening, and he's the one that gets stuff ready for sale, and he's the one that goes to the farmer's market. He does all the work, but I do all the behind the scenes marketing work. So when I say I own it, I own it. But do I do everything? No, I do not.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, he loves to garden. I have said this a billion times in the last 6 months on this podcast. He is so in love with gardening. It is his zen place.
Yes.
And I'm all for it.
And there's some science behind that. Having your hands and feet in the dirt, it's definitely a calming and very zen experience. I know I love gardening, and I got that bug from my mom who also gardens and has a hobby farm just in between Janesville and Waseca, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so I'll plug my mom at downtoearthdigs.com. She's amazing, and she's got, you know, a horse and a mini donkey and baby doll sheep and these beautiful, beautiful gardens and koi ponds. And it's really a sanctuary out there. It's really cool.
Well, I should get hold of her and interview her too at some point.
Yes, you definitely should.
All right. I will try to remember her website, but if I don't, I will email you and ask for it again.
I will share. Yes.
All right. Good. So we did end up becoming an LLC. We did end up getting insurance for the farm because we had people coming onto the farm to pick up CSA shares, which we're not doing this year, just so everybody knows. But we have a farm stand on our property too. So we wanted to make sure that if anyone got hurt, God forbid they got hurt, we were covered, they were covered.
Yes.
So I was going somewhere with this question, and then we got talking, and now I don't remember where I was going with it. So there are things with a business that you really should think through. And the things I already talked about are some of them. But the other thing is a business plan. And I don't know. I know that a business plan is important to marketing, because there's a big old section in a business plan about how are you going to get the word out about what you're doing.
Yeah. And there's so much importance in it. And it can sound really heavy and scary, but, you know, a big part of our process is rooting everything that we do in strategy. So before I ever put pen to paper and start thinking about designing for a client, we are always going to walk through what I like to call the exploration process. And that's where we just take a deep dive into you, your business, and where we're headed. We talk about things like demographics and target audience, and we do our research to make sure that we're making intentional decisions that are going to cater to that audience for you. So having a strategy is very, very important. I actually have a great blog over on my website, evergreenandink.com. And it's a blog that's just a list of good questions to ask your designer when you're out there vetting designers. You know, if you're looking for somebody to help develop your branding, and you're maybe looking at someone to do a logo and maybe a website, you know, is that going to be rooted in strategy? Or are you going to get that deep dive? But also like tons of other questions, right? Like, do I get revisions? How many logos do I get? Do I also get, you know, a color palette with that? Like, do I get all of these things? So there's, you know, a million and one questions when you're first getting started. So I have that blog over on my website. That's just a really nice tool. If you're out there, you know, interviewing designers, go to that list, use that list, share that list. But it's just really important questions to ask as you're looking for somebody, because it's a big investment.
Yeah. Your website is gorgeous. I love it.
Thank
it's
you.
So pretty. So target market is your audience or your people who need what you're selling.
Yes.
Yes. Demographics. Demographics is, because I'm going to butcher it, you tell me what demographics is.
Demographics can be the area that you live in. It can be characteristics about the people that you're trying to cater to. It's kind of an all-encompassing term, but really when we're working on those strategies, we're diving into all of it. We want to know what their actions are, especially if you're starting to like dive into the world of like digital ads. Like, what are these people looking for online? What areas are they looking for? You know, what are even like job titles of people that might be using my product or service? So it can get really specific.
Yeah, absolutely. We didn't have a whole lot of time nor money when we started the business last year. We had a plan, but I was like, I can make a logo for our hobby farm, and I did that, and I love it. It's adorable.
Yeah.
I don't want to change it. It's in black and white, and it represents exactly what we do. It's a little farmhouse. It has a compass for the vent in the side of the little farmhouse, meaning this is where we're at, and it also means these are directions we go.
Yeah.
And it has chickens, and it has two little potted flowers, or a chicken, I think. And I love it. I was like, what can I do? And that's what I did. Luckily, the farmhouse was already a graphic that I could use because it was, what's the word? Not
copyrighted.
Not copyrighted. There's another word, but that wasn't the one. So I typed the house design, and then I added the plants, and I added the chicken, and I added the compass because every house has a vent in the attic. And everybody's like, what is that? And I'm like, it's a compass, you know, like north, south, east, west. And they're like, oh yeah, no, that's right. That makes sense. Okay. And I really didn't want to be esoteric about it. I thought it was kind of obvious, but it's not. So I designed the logo. I still don't have a great tagline. I don't know that I ever will. I don't know that it matters. And we have a website. And honestly, if you can afford to have someone design your website, do it, because they know more than you do.
If you are not alone in that, Mary.
Yeah. If you can design a website yourself, and I did mine. It is not the most gorgeous thing ever, but it gets the job done. If you can't afford to have an expert, do it. The biggest thing is it should only take 2 to 3 clicks to get the information the person looking at the site.
Yes, we want. We really, to be honest, want people to spend 2 minutes or less on your website.
Yeah.
So when we're thinking about how to lay out a website and the design process, we are trying to think about how we can get people to the information that they're looking for efficiently and quickly.
Yes.
So we don't actually want to have, you know, everything and all the information out there, because there's also a piece, you know, leaving a little bit of mystery so that people want to reach out to you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the most important things I think about a website, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or add to it, is number one, they need to be able to contact you, whether that's through a cell phone or an email address or social media. They need to be able to get hold of you to get the thing they need from you.
Yes.
Number two, it needs to not be ugly. It doesn't need to be the most elegant, beautiful website ever built, but it needs to be something that people can handle looking at.
Yes. Yep, I agree.
And number three, it shouldn't be cluttered. There should not be 1,000 links on the first page of your website.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Blog. Yep.
Yeah. So what else? What else should be there?
One thing I always recommend to clients is have a spot for people to subscribe to emails, whether or not you're even sending emails. That's besides the point. Mm-hmm. But you want it to be an option down the road, of course. If you get to the point your business is flourishing, you want to start an e-newsletter, you want to start to market to your email list in the slower months to get the word out about something. You always have those email lists to fall back on. I also like to put my clients in the scenario of, what if social media disappeared tomorrow? What if we woke up and Instagram was gone? You know, there's so many businesses that solely operate on social media, and social media is a wonderful, wonderful tool. But if it all disappeared tomorrow, what would you have? So I like to challenge people to think about that and make sure that you're at least starting to you know, acquire those email lists and those lists of clients somewhere. That way you always have it to fall back on.
Yeah, which leads me to an interesting question. I have been clearly contacting people to see if they would like to be interviewed on my podcast.
For sure.
When people have their emails in their social media profiles, mm-hmm. and if you have actually interacted with them through Messenger or whatever Instagram has, whatever TikTok has for messages,
yeah,
is it okay to use that, to take that email and use it? Or do you need to ask them permission, like to contact them again?
No, I mean, if somebody has their email address publicly, I mean, obviously it's there for a reason. They want people to reach out, so there's no harm in reaching out to them.
Yeah, because it used to be real weird. Email lists used to be kind of scary to me because I was like, I don't want to be on a bunch of email lists. I don't want to have my inbox full of stuff.
You can certainly reach out to people, but yeah, I would avoid, you know, adding them to your email list of people that have actively subscribed to you. You want to make sure that you keep those separate. I know when Emily and I are thinking about email lists that we do have, you know, an email list that's specifically for cold outreach. And that's when we're reaching out to people that possibly do have a public email address. Mm-hmm. You know, reaching out, getting the word out to other communities about what we do. That's what that email list is for. Then we have a separate email list of people that have actively engaged with us in one way or another, whether they've reached out to us personally or engaged on, you know, the website.
Okay. That's what I was trying to get at, because I always feel kind of weird when I'm like, I really should email this person that I saw on Facebook who is doing this fabulous thing that ties into what I'm doing. But then I'm like, but if they don't want to do it, they'll say no. It's fine.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah, it is fine. Put yourself out there, girl.
Oh, I have been. The last 5 months, I have met more people virtually than I have met real people in real life.
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing. I know. I have met so many friends just in this, you know, little over 2 years of starting this business, and I've met, you know, people on social media that I now consider friends, and it's just a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's crazy how it doesn't matter whether you've ever met in real life or not, you can still really care for people that you've met virtually. Yes. It's crazy. A friend of mine just moved from her apartment into a home. She bought a home for the first time ever on her own. And there's a very long story behind this, but there is no one more deserving of it than her. And I was so excited for her when I saw that she had bought a house. I literally had tears in my eyes. I have never met this woman in my life.
Yeah, but you've been able to share connection thanks to the amazing technology that we have. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fabulous. I mean, I am not the most social creature ever. I like persons. I don't like groups of people. I get real anxious around more than a couple people at a time. Yeah. And I hate that, but it's true. And the internet has been wonderful for me because the pressure of being in a room with a bunch of people is completely off.
Yeah.
It helps so much.
For sure.
And my husband said to me, he said, "You're going to start a podcast." I said, "Yeah." He said, "But you don't like people." I said, "The beauty of it is that I never actually have to be around people. I just have to talk with them. That's fine."
Yeah.
He says, "You know, people really aren't that scary." I said, "Most people are not that scary. But it's the one time where there's one scary person that I'm afraid of." And anyone who's ever been in a situation where you thought it was okay to be around a person and it was not, understands this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There were a couple of things when I was a teenager that happened that weren't hugely detrimental, but made me really leery of being around people as a general species, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not a big deal. I wasn't raped. Everything was fine. But they were iffy situations. And some of them, it wasn't even my fault. Like, I didn't put myself in the situation that happened. So So people make me nervous, and men make me nervous, and very few women make me nervous because I haven't had that situation with women. But point being, I have social anxiety. I am not afraid to admit it. And being able to talk with people through the internet is an amazing tool.
It is.
That
really
kind of wraps it up right there.
Yes.
You were saying that you have become friends with a lot of your clients. Our realtor who helped us find our home is now one of my very good friends. I adore her. And she was funny. She came to get soaps and candle gift baskets from us to give to her clients. She came down to visit and picked up some. And I said, "I just love you. You found me my dream home." And she says, "I love you too." She said, "I fall in love with all of my clients." She said, "But you're special." And I looked at her and I was like, "Are you pulling my chain? Are you teasing me?" And I said, "Are you kidding?" And she said, "No." She said, I love you guys." She said, "You are so great." And I was just blown away. I'm like, all we did was buy a house. You know, it's not like we gave you our firstborn child or anything.
It's a big investment though, and it's a big process. I know that I work with a couple realtors, one of which actually did help my husband and I find the house that we're living in now. Mm-hmm. And you really connect with those people. They kind of become part of your story, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, she's basically part of our family now. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
But anyway, little off subject, but not quite. So what else can I ask you? Because I don't want to like steal your biggest secrets about how you do what you do, because that's not what we're here for. I want you to continue to do what you do for your business. Yeah. But I do want people to know that if you are making something and you love doing it and other people love it too, it's okay to sell it. It's okay to market it.
Yep. Yes, 100%. Do the thing. Life is short. And if you have that entrepreneurial bug in you, I'm here to tell you it's not going to ever go away.
No.
So go for it. because it's going to be with you forever. You know, it's owning your own business is wild. I have three little boys. One was just born just after Christmas, and I have people ask me all the time, like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I can't picture it any other way. Cause I don't think I could go back. I don't think I could go back to the corporate world or, you know, do anything differently. I absolutely love what I do. I love the people I work with, and I love the flexibility for my family.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of the reason that we decided to start the business last year is we had some stuff going on that my husband really felt that he needed to be home more. And so he left his job, his almost 30-year career.
Yeah.
And he was not upset to leave it. He had been saying he needed to find a different job for a long time. And when he came home and said, "I need to quit my job," I said, "You do?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I really feel like I need to be here right now with stuff. And I can't go into what was going on because I've been asked not to by the person that was the reason why he left his job. And that's fine. But then he was like, "So we're going to make this place go."
Yeah.
And I about
you
had
get to live the dream.
I about had a heart attack. I was like, "Excuse me, what?"
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I sent my husband into like a downward spiral for like 3 months, because it was truly just like a Monday morning. I woke up. I knew I had been feeling this way for a while, and it was time. It was my time. And my husband came home for lunch, and I said, "I quit my job and I have a plan, and this is what I'm going to do." And here we are.
Yeah. Well, considering that my husband was the only breadwinner and basically still is, it was a big shock to me because the plan was when we got together that I would be the stay-at-home mom of the kids and he would be the one who has a job because he likes having a job, and that would be it. And clearly, my kids are grown now. They're all adults. And nothing had been said to me about getting a job, because I still do all the things I used to do. I just don't have to be an active parent anymore every day.
For sure.
And so I said, how are we going to make this place go? And he said, well, I'm going to continue doing the big garden, and we're going to do the farmer's market, because he hadn't done that before, and we're going to sell from the property. And I said, and we're going to make soap and candles and lip balms and stuff again, aren't we? And he was like, yep. And I said, okay. So I spent a week basically in shock, and we had to get our own life insurance, because we had life insurance through work, and yeah, we had to get health insurance through the state, because if you're not employed, there's no insurance through work.
Yeah.
And had to do all these major changes regarding how we ran our life. And I literally was in this gray cloud for a week after he told me.
Yeah.
And a week to the day from when he said, I don't want to be at my workplace anymore, I woke up and went, okay, I can do this. I can market this. We can make this go. And for the next week, I was like, so I was thinking, we got to do. And so I was thinking, and so I was thinking, he's like, oh my God, I never should have done this. And we gave it a go.
Yeah.
A brand new business typically does not make a lot of money in the first year, let alone
right,
the first 5 years.
Right.
So he is now back at a jobby job, as we call it, that he actually loves.
Oh,
so wow, this is good. And I was like, I'm going to start a podcast, because if people like it, they will listen, and then maybe I can monetize that, and that will be residual income. He said, I think you should do that. I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And so I'm working basically for free right now, probably 35 hours a week on the podcast.
Yeah.
And enjoying the heck out of it.
Oh, good.
And it's growing. I don't quite know how to make it grow faster, but I don't know that I need to yet.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm really enjoying mostly helping other people with what I'm sharing on the podcast, because that's kind of my thing. I like being able to say, hey, have you thought about, hey, did you know this?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is why I wanted to talk to you. When I found out about you, I was like, I bet she knows stuff I don't know about getting the word out for small businesses. We should talk.
Yes. Well, yeah, and that's really the, you know, the special part about, you know, diving into something you love is the connection with people. And I think that's really special. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yep. It's really fun. And when I emailed your email or Emily's email, whichever one I got of you two, Emily was like, Laura just had a baby. Can we do the interview like later, 6 weeks from now? And I was like, yes, of course. And I love babies. I love newborns to 6 months old. I think that they are the most wonderful thing ever. And as soon as I read that you had had a baby, I was like, ah, cute.
Yes, he's so special. He's so wonderful and so smiley. And we're so happy he's here. I am so happy to not be pregnant anymore.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
He was due Christmas Day. He was born the 27th. So he made me wait just a tiny bit longer. And we're so glad to have him here.
Yeah, I feel like the best part of pregnancy is the minute you find out, and maybe 4 months along, you're like, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah. Am I done yet?
Yep. And then you've still got 5 months to go. And it's, yeah, not actually 9 months. It's actually 10 months, really. It's 40 mm-hmm. weeks. That's a long time to grow a human being.
It is a very long time, yes.
If you consider there are 52 weeks in a year, it's almost a year of growing, yeah, a human being.
Seriously. Yep.
So, yeah, at least it's not like other species that are pregnant for over a year. I can't, yeah, even imagine.
I think elephants are pregnant for like 2 years. And I only, yeah, know that because my middle child is just an animal fanatic. So we've watched every documentary on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I believe it.
Three.
Uh-huh. You may have a budding zoologist on your hand.
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I think kids are great. I also think it's great when they become young adults and they go out on their own and they discover their own lives, because by then you're ready for them to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. And babies are wonderful. Every time somebody hands me a baby who's younger than 6 months old, I just tuck them in and I'm like, they smell so good.
I know. It's just heaven. It is.
Yep. And it's a short-lived heaven, so enjoy it.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Good. All right. Well, I don't really have any other questions, Laura. I so appreciate you taking time out of your day, because I'm sure that you really probably would have rather napped than chatted with me.
Hey, it's all good. I don't get naps these days. This is the youngest of three and we got a business to run. So mm-hmm.
Yep.
We just do it in sweatpants. It's all good.
Yes. And when you don't have to be on camera, you can do that. It works out great. Okay. Well, Laura, thank you again and have a great day.
Yes. Thank you again for having me.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.